One Man Revolution, Volume 3, Episode 29. Well, we're back again. Here we are, no longer all together in a foreign bunker.
Yeah, we are back. Again.
We're split up again. So I'm the revolutionary. It is the One Man Revolution podcast. I'm joined by
the comrade.
Did you just call yourself the revolutionary?
No.
Wow.
No.
Oh.
Actually, to be fair, I did the first week the revolutionary was gone. I made that mistake. Oh. But you know,
nobody expects the Inquisitor.
Hey, so we're like 30 seconds in and things are already off the rails.
Completely off the rails. So, it's been 183 days and of course ISIS no longer exists.
What? Oh. Wait, are you sure?
Oh wait. I don't think so.
I'm thinking they're still around, actually.
Yeah.
They did lose Mosul, which we talked about. But
they did lose Mosul. They did.
Now
they're still there.
Well, now extremists are attacking holy grounds, so.
Yeah. So.
Well, I was ever hopeful.
And we appreciate that optimism here on the One Man Revolution podcast. It's all about positive mindset here.
Oh, we get so positive here.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm so glad. I'm so glad that nothing else actually happened this week. I mean, you know, even though ISIS still exists, nothing has actually happened.
It's been pretty mild.
It's
very good. Hats off to the Inquisitor.
His face. He was so proud of that one. Oh my God. Yeah, things in the Oval Office have kind of simmered down. They're not quite as spicy as they used to be.
Allowed to make that it's hot but not spicy, but you're allowed to say that it's simmered down and it's not as hot as it was before.
Now it's just al dente.
It's like that, you know, stew.
The chair is going to your head, sir.
It is. It's a problem. I need you to come back and put me in my place here.
Well, next week I will be sitting in that chair and I will be managing this with the iron fist at the One Man Revolution podcast.
We've missed it.
As required for the past several weeks.
We've missed it. Yeah, things are a little too loosey-goosey here. We got to bring it back, get it right back on form.
We're going to have a full-on podcast dinner and we're going to do everything the way we used to.
That's right. It'll be good.
Yes.
Well, so
what's on deck this week?
Well, we got a few things. We got some advice for the president. We recommend you, number one, you delete Twitter. Number two, you lawyer up, and number three, you hit the gym. But
that's probably the best idea.
We're thinking he's only going to follow the second piece of that advice there. So we'll
Delete Twitter.
No. Number one is delete Twitter. Number two is lawyer up. He's got the lawyers. He's working on that.
Well, actually,
there's some interesting controversy over the lawyers and how they're getting paid. We'll get into that a little bit. And hitting the gym, I guess the golf course counts.
No.
Yeah, well, he hits the golf course, so there's that.
He probably puts on more calories in the restaurants.
Ha! We're introducing another little weekly thing we're going to try to give for you guys. We're going to call it Net Neutrality Watch. We might come up with something better and more clever. I just did that off the cuff. But the idea is to kind of keep you up to date on what's going on with net neutrality, why it matters, and give you a little bit of perspective. And then, of course, we've got our One Man Revolution Well Done of the Week. And a positive mention. So we got a pretty full
Always
plate.
Good.
Yeah, we got a pretty full plate. We're going to keep things light and fun. A lot of it this week is President Trump firmly applying the egg directly to his forehead. So
many times.
Oh, my God.
So many times.
So we'll go over
all
that.
Did you see him in that fire truck?
No, I didn't see the fire truck.
I saw the fire truck.
He was playing trucks again. He's out there talking about how he would love to be a fireman and how he would love to drive that truck around.
He just wants to have every job. So he started with the hardest one to get, and now he can just go to every other job. Right? That's how that works, right?
Right,
yeah, that's
how
exactly
it does work.
How it works. Yeah. Oh, man. Hang on, I got to find this picture because that sounds hilarious.
It is. It's pretty amazing. So this week we did have some changes in the West Wing.
Thing.
He did the same pose.
Oh my
same
god!
Same pose. That's the only pose he has. Yeah.
So bad.
Or so good.
Ha! Well, he's predictable, I guess.
He is very predictable.
President predictable? What?
I know.
Nah.
So yeah. So you were saying there's been a little bit of a mix up in the West Wing.
Yeah, should be rather interesting. It appears that Sean Spicer has decided to step down as the face of the Trump administration.
I have been consistently saying that man had the most difficult job in all of the West Wing. He had to be the one to get up in front of the press and justify those ridiculous tweets every day.
Well, I read a little bit about Mr. Spicy's career, and he is a Washington political insider. And he did, it was probably very difficult for him. This was through the Atlantic to swallow his pride and do the job that he was tasked to do every day.
Yeah, I can't imagine being the whipping boy for the press and the president at the same time.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. And it's being handed over to, what's this guy's name? Munchy?
Scaramouche, will you do the fun?
Oh, Mushy. That's right, Mushy. This guy, Mushy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
he likes to be called Moochie.
Moochie?
Yeah.
Oh, we got to call him Noki then.
Not being handed over. He's the new communications.
Well, no. So Spicy's boss is the communications director in the White House. Spicy's old boss was fired or something. And Scaramouche is the new boss. And Spicy really doesn't like Noki. So Noki's stepping in. Spicy's stepping out.
And apparently Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to take his spot.
Sanders.
Yeah, she's going to be the new press secretary, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
But we got to think of a culinary nickname for her now.
Oh, don't do that. That's not very nice to say about her.
Well, we got Spicy, he's gone. We got Noki stepping in. We got a
white bread?
No. Something based on her name. Sanders?
Wonderloaf.
Sanders. Wonderloaf.
Milk toast.
Oh my god!
I mean, she looks like 10 pounds of dough. So
oof,
oof. Yeah, I don't know.
Revolutionary's not pulling punches today. I like it.
Nope,
not at all.
Does he ever pull punches?
No, not really.
He just punches anyone less.
So Huckabee Sanders, you could just call her Colonel Sanders. That's always good. Chicken lady.
Chicken lady. Oh,
chicken fingers.
We're gonna come up with something.
We'll think of something.
We gotta mess up first.
We got a week to think of something.
She
refuses to be recorded, so that's a big problem.
Oh,
so you can, the Invisible Girl?
Secret Herbs and Spices.
Secret Herbs and Spices. That's pretty. Oh no, Secret Herbs, just Secret Herbs.
Secret Herbs?
No spices.
No spices. Yeah, that's right. No spices. It's just Secret Herbs. They call her Secret Herbs. Noki and Secret Herbs. That's the new press corps.
Sounds pretty bland.
It's boring. Yeah, there's no spice in it anymore.
No.
No spice.
So yeah, one of my favorite things about the fact that Spicy has quit is who Scaramouche, who I will refer to as Noki in the future, who he is.
The scumbag.
Oh, he's. So he's not your classic politician. So we've already checked off all the boxes that the Trumpets care about. But what he is a New York City financier who is, for lack of
heavily in the trade market. Is it a bond trade market? Or
bond trading, financing. Yeah. He's also balls deep in the First Family.
Boy. Wow.
So I'm going to read from the New York
Times. That's the first time that's happened with Melania in a long time.
Hey. Oh. In about 10 years, in fact.
Oh.
Wow. So the New York Times kind of broke down Noki's relationship to the First Family. He's apparently very close to Donnie, He's also well respected by the First Lady Ivanka and her husband, intern in chief, the Kush.
First Lady Ivanka?
Yeah.
I got it.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. He's also apparently had a direct personal line to the president. They've known each other for a number of years in New York. So yet another of the president's good buddies getting a high position in the White House with security clearance, mind you.
I'm so very glad he is draining the swamp and getting rid of all of those Washington insiders and replacing them with his own personal insiders.
Yeah, the Wall Street and real estate insiders, because the world's better off that way.
Because they really care.
Absolutely.
Totally nuts. It's the bold-faced hypocrisy of this administration's behavior is inexcusable in my mind. And the fact that you can have people on his side backing him up in what he's doing as if it's good for the country,
yeah,
I can't fathom.
It's reprehensible.
The conversation I want to have with the trumpet one day isn't why the president is so wrong. The conversation I want to have is, you tell me why President Trump's actions make this country better. You justify his actions, his day-to-day interactions with people and his choices in policymaking and his staff. You tell me why that's good for this country. I want to know why. Justify it.
Well, if the trumpets weren't such absolute pussies and would come on the show, I mean, I've had several of them say that they would love to come on the show and defend their president. But, you know, none of them have come up and none of them have stepped forward. But we have a lot of opposition that have stepped forward and even gotten names on our show.
Yeah. It's one of those things I'm still waiting for. And I will say that a lot of people are worried about an overly hostile environment. And to be fair, this is a very critical standpoint against the president. But if you come on and you're willing to justify your actions, we will absolutely give you a moment to speak, to justify. We can't promise you'll leave with an intact ego, but we will give you a fair chance to have that discussion. And it will be a discussion, not just a lecture on why you're wrong. So if you're feeling brave,
it won't be one-sided at all.
Exactly.
It won't be one-sided. We like to listen and we like to speak, so it won't be one-sided at all.
I think it'd be a good time. I would really hope that there is somebody out there who wants to come on the show and do that. You can even call in just like the Revolutionary is right now. You don't have to physically be here if you can't make it. We'll find a way. We'll bring the conversation to you. That's an open invitation to anybody who feels like they want to hop in and have their voice heard on this platform.
Absolutely. Well, I'm going to step aside because, as we know, it's very difficult for me to jump in because of the delay and whatnot, even through the Skype as we go through.
It is pretty clear today.
Yeah, it's pretty clear today, absolutely. But it's still difficult because I can't raise my hand, jump in, or just turn your guys' mics off in order to talk.
That's fair. That is fair.
So I'll be back next week. And you guys are doing a great job. And I'm going to drop back and I'm going to listen and give feedback. So I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. We can't wait to have a proper podcast recording here in the bunker once again. Thanks to the Revolutionary for tuning in.
Yep, I know.
It's always a good way to start the show off.
And stay positive, guys. And I'll see you next week.
All righty. See you then. Cool. So yeah, Spicy's out. That's a thing.
Spicy's out.
There's been a couple other things going on with the White House, with the first family. We'll touch on those a little bit. Sticking to the theme of people in the West Wing that are not the first family, we've got ExxonMobil having some issues with some trade deals that they tried to put forth with Russia in 2014, back when Secretary of State Tillerson was their CEO. They got hit with a $2 million fine from the Department of Treasury on Thursday. Basically, they put together a really huge deal with Russia for new drilling rights, for new trading rights for oil in 2014, a few weeks after President Obama extended the sanctions against Russia for all trade of natural resources. So the man that was lauded for being so wonderfully politically minded, for being so experienced in international matters, was directly involved in basically an illegal trade deal, and now his company is being sued.
Great.
So that's good. So that's, you know, another mark for the integrity of the cabinet of the Trump administration. You know, draining that swamp, filling it with concrete, lead, radioactive poison.
No, just removing the alligators and putting in snakes.
Hey, there we go. I don't know. It's been an interesting week, that's for sure. ExxonMobil countersued the Department of Treasury, so that's going to be an ongoing battle. We might have some updates for you there. But point of order, they made roughly $7.9 billion in revenue this past year, and they're only being fined $2 million. So they don't really care about the money.
No, the money is... trivial. I think if anything, the act of doing it could be
it's a principle thing.
That's the impact, not really the money.
Yeah, I hear you. It's just frustrating to me where we have all these people who have been in office now for roughly 6 months, who, as time goes on, more and more things keep getting pulled out of their past, and not even the far past, not even like, you know, 10, 15, 30 years ago. No, we're talking like 2 years ago, 5 years ago, less than 10 years ago. All of this crazy stuff keeps coming back and keeps coming out and shows really who these people actually are. And we still have a lot of people who think that this administration it's going in the right direction. They think these are the people to fix this country.
Well, I mean, it's easy to think that when you have your head in the sand.
Yeah, I guess. I mean... I don't know if I could say that it's head in the sand, though, because these people are very aware of what's going on. Like, they know exactly all of these new things, all the stuff going down, and they seem to be okay with it.
So there was in Alabama, there's a case going on right now about a 12-year-old girl that got raped and she got pregnant. And stay with me here. And the... she wants to get an abortion, and the state prosecution of Alabama doesn't want her to get it. They're saying she shouldn't be allowed to do this because she shouldn't have to weigh that on her conscience. That's their thing. They're not considering anything else except for, oh, think about her. She's going to be quote unquote killing a baby. She's going to have to deal with that for the rest of her life. Oh, wait, she's going to have to deal with having a child she didn't want and raising a child she can't support because she's fucking 12.
So on that note, I think I need to libate a little bit here. That's a pretty heady topic. We'll get into it.
Well, no.
But before we can dive into that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cheers.
Oh, that. Wait. Clear. But lots more foam than I wanted. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, I think most of his supporters are able to look at one small aspect of every single thing that happens and completely ignore the rest of the implications of anything that happens. So, oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. That's actually a really interesting point that you bring up, because it's kind of the crux of a lot of these debates on idea and policy and local law, federal law, things like that, right? The idea of this horrible, horrible incident where a young child is assaulted and she's left in a condition she has no control over. So now it's not her, it's not her family, it's the state having to get into a legal argument over this child. I can't even imagine, you know, what she's going through, what her family's going through, because now they're in the spotlight for everybody to talk about this thing.
Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, that's kind of a bigger picture. Now you have the classic anecdotal versus systemic argument, right? So anecdotal meaning...
the conscience.
But no, an anecdote, a story. It's a singular incident. So we're making an argument based on either a hypothetical or singular incident that occurred, right? One-time deal. As opposed to data, large numbers, big facts, and especially with like really deep-seated issues like abortion, like gun control, you have a classic back and forth of arguments over anecdotal, hypothetical, and statistical fact.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Like, we were just abroad. As you checked in last week, you saw us. We were over in Iceland. Iceland allows their citizens to own firearms. They have very few, if any, firearm-related crimes in the country at all, which is crazy. Whereas the United States, granted, we are exponentially larger, but we have access to firearms as well, and we have a crazy amount of firearm crime being committed. So it's not impossible to have a society that has access to firearms as a recreational hunting and as a tool of self-defense and avoid firearm-based crime. It's a question of culture, really. And that's a super difficult thing to discuss because who knows why there's a difference. But you can argue for the validity of one thing in a certain circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're talking about shades of gray. You're not talking about black and white. And especially when it comes to moral law, abortion, gun rights, things like that, it's a moral-based argument a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There is no gray for a lot of people. Abortion is murder.
Yeah.
Guns are evil.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's no in-between on those topics. And it's really tough because this is going to sound bad. The sophisticated mind must understand that reality has shades of gray.
Mm-hmm.
The simplistic mind separates things into black and white.
Yeah.
And the nuance, the understanding that your viewpoint is limited and will never have all of the facts, is where you have to come to understand that you have to give and take a little bit on all of these things. My stance on abortion's always been, as a man, who am I to say, no, you, woman, are not allowed to get an abortion for any circumstance? I will never be able to experience what she experiences, ever. It's not my body.
But if it is your, in part, help of creation of the child, that's a little bit different.
One would hope in that circumstance, she has the morals to discuss it with you.
Yeah.
But in the end,
it's still her choice.
In the end, it's still her body.
Mm-hmm.
It is 9 months that she has to deal with all of the all of the change, all of the work, all mm-hmm. of the time, all of the effort. And all I did was do a little bit of work for about 5 minutes.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so here's something. Let's get back to the original question.
Yeah.
About how people can, support. Which, mind you, it's fewer and fewer. He's got less support than most presidents do after their tenure starts.
He has historically low support. He has the lowest approval ratings of any president ever.
Yeah, but even lower than when presidents start their tenure, lower.
Oh, I have no idea. I don't know how they're judging that.
I read a quit thing. Either way. The problem is they're deferring questions. So... I asked to a very close trumpet of
trumpet.
Mine. What do you think of the motion to impeach?
Oh, from the House Democrats?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this person didn't talk about anything that the president did, just, oh, the Democrats are still pissed off that Hillary lost, and they're just throwing a fit. And
if
so, right?
Okay. Just real quick, if your entire defense of your president that you like is that the people are still bitter about losing, if that is the only thing you have to defend your sitting president, you might have a problem. What I don't hear from a lot of trumpets is, look at all of these amazing things he's done for the country. What I hear is, yeah, but Hillary this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Hillary that.
Well,
yeah,
even
but
the president's Democrats like this.
No, I know. Well, that's the president's own talking points. But my point is, And this kind of goes back to that open invitation we have to trumpets out there who want to come and argue for the president. And even if you don't consider yourself like a hardcore supporter, if you just want, like, you're in the field of he deserves that chance, right? Come on with your own original ideas. Don't come on with talking points. You wanna get shut down real fast? Just repeat what the president says on Twitter. Just repeat what you hear on Fox and Friends. That's not an opinion. That's not thought. That's not concentrated effort on understanding the points and issues here at hand. That's just repeating what you see in the news. That's not real. If you have a real opinion, if you have a real informed, fact-based opinion on why this administration is doing good things, you come let me know. But looking at the body of work that we have for the past 6 months, I don't see that there's any argument to stand for the president saying he's done a good job.
For me personally, I kind of stay as close to the middle as possible. I don't like to put a label on myself that's so passe to say. But
damn millennials.
So I try to, you know, I don't want to say I'm one way or the other because I don't think that's fair to myself. And I don't think that's fair to my country to try to only look at things from one perspective.
Okay.
So I try to balance between the two. And it's not that
between the two what?
Between the right and the left.
Oh, well, that's because you're intelligent.
Thanks.
So nobody is a conservative and checks off all the boxes. Nobody's a liberal and checks off all the boxes. Everybody is somewhere in between the two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, my parents, super duper conservative, like super duper, and they check off a lot of the boxes because they're Tea Partiers, right? Is the, you know, the socially conservative, the fiscally conservative, and yet they want the government to do things like outlaw abortions, which is against the idea of the 10th Amendment, and the government hands off my lifestyle choices, right? So that in my mind, that's a direct contradiction of their own political values.
Yeah.
So they can't check off all the boxes, because some of them are inherently contradictory. In the same way that I am not a conservative nor a liberal in their entirety, I'm a social liberal in that I really don't care what you want to do. This is a free country. If you do what you want to do and it doesn't hurt anyone else, by all means, do you. But I want the government to become fiscally responsible. I want them to fix the crazy deficits that we see. I want them to re-examine the Department of Corrections. The Department of Justice in general. It's just a broken system. The Department of Defense, it just has blank checks to write trillions of dollars out to whomever they feel like doing with very little oversight at all. And that's a huge problem. And in Congress in general, I don't think has any sort of responsibility to the people that elect them.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to do a serious reexamination of how the system itself runs. And in that way, I guess you can call me a liberal in that, because I want to change what we have instead of leaving it the same. But
that sounds a bit libertarian.
Yeah, that's about right.
Now, I want your opinion on this one. A lot of people who are conservative talking about, or socially conservative, they view the same way that I, as a social liberal, see that the other side is trying to push down my throat their views. So instead of it being, it's okay, do whatever you want,
right,
like you said,
yeah,
they view it as, no, you have to accept gay marriage. No, you have to accept abortions. No, you have to accept this and that.
That's actually a really great argument, point, question, however you want to phrase mm-hmm. it, right? So it's challenging. It's challenging in that the way these points are made, the way these things are argued, is from one fringe against the other fringe.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're in between, regardless of where you sit on the scale, if you disagree or have any sort of a hesitation about where you stand on the issue, you feel attacked by the message coming from the fringe, right? So there's, and President Obama said this a lot, there's it's called common sense legislation, which is to say, legalize gay marriage because what does it hurt? Seriously? It doesn't hurt anything. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't get in the way of anything. It does. If you're already married, good for you. If you're not already married, it does not take away your power to get married or the definition of that marriage. It just allows other people to enjoy the same benefits, tax benefits, and emotional stability that you enjoy because you're heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, seriously, why do you have a problem with that? That's crazy. Abortion, on the other side, right? You have a lot of women arguing for access to abortion. You have a lot of people, including women, on the other side arguing that abortion is murder.
Mm-hmm.
That is a super touchy subject, and I am not super comfortable giving a definitive answer one way or the other. I will say pro-choice
mm-hmm.
on that one because, like I said earlier, I don't have any way to say one way or the other.
Yeah.
I will say this. I think it's very important that women have complete access to all of the health services that they need to live a full and healthy life. Abortion is one of those things. Whether or not you morally agree with it does not change the fact that at some point a woman may need access to that procedure to stay alive. As a result, those services should be available. Now, a lot of people make the argument that, well, it's my tax dollars funding it, not a normal medical procedure. Make it legal, but don't fund it with my tax dollars. Fair. Except that your tax dollars aren't actually funding it. And the argument point is always Planned Parenthood, because Planned Parenthood is the big banner-waving facility. Only 3% of all of the medical procedures they actually perform are abortions. 97% of what they do, 97 cents of your dollar spent at Planned Parenthood is for other things like medical checkups, like STD screenings, like yep. your typical checkups for people who can't afford to go to a normal doctor because Trump care decided they don't deserve health care in the first place.
Or proper contraceptive that
whatever
stopped the whole issue being a problem in the first place. Granted, I know that birth control isn't for everybody. And I wish that there was this, the male version.
No, let's be clear. Birth control is for everybody.
No, the pills, I mean.
Some form of birth control
is for everybody.
Is for everybody.
Yeah.
Your lifestyle is your own lifestyle, and that's yours to choose. So what it really breaks down to, if you really, really, really want to dig into it, get to the root of it, right? It's conservative. So it's socially conservative people who want to create laws on whether or not people have the ability to have sex with the people they want to have sex with.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yep.
It's sex.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So don't allow gay people to get married. It's because you don't think men should have sex with men or women should have sex with women.
Yep.
Don't allow women to have abortions. Really, what your issue there is, you don't want people to have access to contraceptive at all. So you argue for abstinence because you don't want to accept the fact that people have sex out of wedlock. It's the 21st century. I'm sorry. Most people just don't get married at this point.
My biggest thing with that is not, you know, whether it's not even the, you know, consensual sex. It's the non-consensual sex that leads to pregnancy. That's like
this 12-year-old that brought the whole thing
exactly
in the first place.
How can you look at me and tell me that? Like, so you're saying that it's her fault then? Basically, you're saying it's her fault because she wasn't able to not get.
Well, she shouldn't have been wearing those pants.
Right. It's, you know, you're not saying word for word that, but how else? You need, like, that's the whole thing about stopping rape from the rapist.
Well,
as
the revolutionary is so apt to point out, it is the rape culture we have in this country. It is the fact that men are seen as sexually irresponsible. They are just animals that can't control themselves. And we take all the responsibility away from men and put it on the women. Say, well, you need to do this, you need to behave that way, you need to live like this, you need to do these things, and God forbid you take birth control. It's a weird patriarchal sexist system that comes, I think, and I could be wrong on this one, but I think that comes from the puritanical origins of our entire country.
Most likely.
And it's kind of this weird ingrained thing where everybody's afraid of nudity and talking about sex and being open about these things, instead of just looking at it as adults and just understanding that, one, it happens. Two, we're all human. We'll do it at some point. And three, if we're all responsible about these things, if we have proper education on contraceptive, if we have proper access to these things, the abortion debate shouldn't be one. Then abortions are just kind of a secondary thing that are just available to the people who are in a circumstance where medically it's not a viable, or they were a victim and they didn't have any say in the matter, or something like that. Then it becomes a secondary issue. It's not the primary form of birth control for some people, which it has become, and that's awful.
Yeah.
And I think that's partially because of the debate about it instead of the understanding and the education of your options. But we are way off track.
Sorry.
No, that was awesome. That's a great discussion there. It's we don't talk about things like that often enough. And I really wish we do have viewer chiming in here, and it's pretty great to get that that feedback there. But I really wish we had a woman's voice here on the show to kind of give their perspective on it on that. But that's always a topic we can get to in any time. Yeah, no, seriously. Like any of our female fans out there, viewers, listeners, if you want to get in, just let us know. We'll try to organize something. Just send us a message. We'll see what we can do. But all right, let's bring it back to where we started.
All right, let's
probing things against people's wishes.
Yeah,
Russia and then special investigations. No, not counter-probing.
There's counter-probing.
Oh, God. What?
Our president is investigating the guy investigating him.
You're talking about Mueller?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get into that. All right. We're gonna dig deep into this probe. We're going to get to the real root of the issue here. It's just got dark. You might have heard special counsel investigator Mueller has been doing a little bit of digging into the president, into his campaign, into any possible connections between him, his people, and Russia. There's been some things. Some things have come up.
Tell me some things.
So my personal favorite thing that's come up here is that it has been revealed that Mueller has full authority to dig into all of President Trump's personal finances.
Yeah.
As well as his campaign finances.
Yeah.
So all those tax returns people have been looking for. Oh my God. Your face is amazing.
it's what's the word I'm looking for?
I don't know. Schadenfreude?
It's poetic.
Poetic. It's ironic. No, it's not ironic. It's poetically beautiful. Yeah. It's full circle. Everything's come full circle. So my favorite thing about this is the fact that Mueller's counsel, there's a whole big group of people operating basically as the representatives for the Department of Justice in this issue. They haven't made any statements of any kind since they were appointed. And then this week, they just dropped some bombs. Like, there's the one about investigating the president's personal finances, investigating the campaign finances. And then he also sent a letter to the White House stating that they need to maintain and preserve all documents relating to the June 2016 meeting at Trump Tower between Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and Paul Manafort, and the Russian lawyers and other people who happened to be at that meeting. Now, I didn't use nicknames because I was reading a quote there, to be fair. So the reason why this matters is because in June of 2016, there was a meeting of rather shady proportion between a lot of Russian agents and a lot of people in the Trump campaign. This is basically the core of the reason why people are worried about collusion. So that's kind of a big deal. He has basically given them a freeze on all records. They cannot purge, remove, modify, change in any way any records relating to that meeting or anything afterwards or anything associated with it. Anyone that does anything to modify these records is now guilty of obstructive justice. And obstruction of justice is kind of that blanket thing that says you did a bad thing when you knew you were in trouble.
Yep.
So I'm real curious to see what comes out of that. So now we've got a freeze in all records regarding a meeting in June of 2016, and we've got a potential investigation of all of the president's finances. And the reason why that's potentially very interesting is it turns out that the Trump campaign fund has paid out to the lawyers who were defending the president for the current investigation. I think the last I saw the number was about $600,000 in legal fees.
I mean, that is to help him get reelected, right?
If you write the check the right way, I suppose so. So, so yeah. Now we're looking at potential, fraud, election fund fraud. I don't know enough about how that mechanism works to understand it.
That's probably going to be swept
under the rug. Well, that one's not as big of a deal. But like, if you think about, and I'm going to draw an analogy here, people are going to love. If you think about the mafia. Uh-huh. And how they all get elected, yeah. Or not elected, arrested, elected.
Well, that too. It's 2017.
Freud's right over there, and he's laughing at me. So if you think about how a lot of the mafia bosses get arrested, it's tax evasion, tax fraud, money laundering, things like that. It's all finances, because finances are easy to track and easy to prove. Mm-hmm. So while that's not nearly as exciting, it's not as explosive and sexy as like investigating the meeting between Donnie and the Kush and the Russian lawyers, I think that one has more potential to be really damning for the administration. Because if your money isn't clean, if your funds aren't clean and your records aren't accurate, there's some serious problems. And everybody knew that President Trump was dragging his heels and releasing his taxes because there's something shady in there in the first place. If you go a couple dozen episodes back from here, maybe not a couple dozen, if you go a while back in a few episodes, we talked about how the potential that the president is in debt to Russian businessmen for $500 million. That's got to be on the books somewhere. And if Mueller is investigating his finances and he finds the debt, that's conflict of interest. I believe that's tantamount to emolument clause violation. So it's such a rat's nest of potential issues that the president is now staring down, and he's petrified of what could come from this. The Inquisitor mentioned before we started that he's looking at possible abilities for pardons, as a presidential pardon. Yeah.
Yeah. He's looking into, so I've said before that, our president likes to just kind of see what he can do, because he wasn't ever briefed on what the president can do in life. I don't know. I feel like while running for president, even if he didn't know if he was going to win or not, he should have been learning about how to be the president. But that's for losers. So he's like, oh, I can pardon people, right? Yeah. Can I pardon my family? Well, can I pardon people around me? Yeah. Can I pardon myself?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, I was having this discussion with the revolutionary. When politics in the United States comes down to the fact that we have to define to the people of this country what collusion is and why collusion's bad, we've hit a brick wall. Like, things have really gone downhill. If you have to look at our election process and be explained to, like, a 5-year-old that another country getting their fingers in our election process is bad, you don't deserve to vote. I don't know how to do that without getting like super pissed off and lectury right now.
You really shouldn't mention that, because there's like some problems there.
What's that?
Well, I mean, talking about intelligence and voting, and then you get into whole.
No, that's not what I said. No, what I said is, if you don't understand why it's bad that another country, a foreign power, interfering with our ability to elect the leaders we need and want.
Take a step as class.
If you don't understand why that's a bad thing, yes, go back to elementary school, take a freaking history class, take a civics class, understand why the system we have is so important and why it's so fragile.
I still say I never get a proper civics class in school, and that really bugs me.
Yeah, well, I mean, we get history courses in public education. You get history courses. Granted, you received your public education in the 49th ranked state.
Yeah.
For public education. So there's
Who's
that.
Who's 50?
I don't know. Oh. I think it's like Arkansas.
Okay. That would
make
like sense.
Or like Mississippi.
One of the other southeast.
Like No, like Midwest kind of south. You know, off the river.
Yeah.
Banjos, trailers, tornadoes.
Yeah.
You know, classy folks.
I mean, what's horrible, and I'm going to go on a tangent if I say this. Let me just get it out there real quick.
Do it.
What's horrible is if you see our teachers striking because they're not happy with the situations going on. In
what situation is that?
Payment.
Okay.
And you're not... You're mad at the teachers for striking about being mad about being paid, not being paid right. And
well,
then,
as Americans, we're all mad about being denied the entitlements we feel we so richly deserve.
Right, but you're a teacher.
So teachers in other countries, teachers in other developed Western civilizations. Which is a it feels bad to make that clarification, but it's kind of necessary.
It's necessary.
They're seen as basically royalty. Whereas here, when you're having that conversation with somebody, oh, I'm in college, I'm studying.
Teach?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to be a teacher. Oh, you. Oh. Oh, honey.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. It's one of those.
That was really bad.
There's no respect for teachers here. I mean, there's the classic truism that my father, who is an engineer, told me at a young age, if you can't do, you teach. If you can't teach, you teach PE.
In America.
Right here. Here. Yeah. And I think that's really telling of the scorn that a lot of people feel for teachers, which is really a shame. And I wonder if that's something to do with the education system itself. Because we're sitting here talking about the lack of education and practical matters that we didn't receive. That's a phone. And that's a second strike for the Inquisitor. But it's really disappointing to see that we don't have an education system that we all trust and respect, and we don't have educators with positions of reverence in our society. Like, these are the people guiding the next generation to success or failure, as the case may be. I mean, look at all the scorn that millennials receive. Look at all the scorn millennials receive from their parents, the older generation, the Gen X's, the Gen Y's. I don't know where millennials fall on that scale, but basically all the people that are slightly older than millennials. Look at all the scorn that they heap upon us for killing things like chain restaurants. And not working hard and all this other stuff. We learned all these habits from the people before us. We learned all these habits from our education. We learned all these habits from our parents and our grandparents and our aunts and uncles. We picked up on these habits from the system that raised us. And when, you know, as a child, you start to go to school at like 6 years, 5 or 6 years old, and you spend 7 or 8 hours a day surrounded by other people being told the same thing. And there's only so much a parent can do outside of that school to guide their opinion and motivation to fix things in the world. So if you're looking back and you're going, well, our education, you know, like, oh, teachers are, they're just not worthwhile. They're not worth getting paid properly. They're not actually useful people in our society. You're so, so wrong. They define the next generation of people.
Well, maybe the whole reason that the school system is bad and that you think teachers are bad is because of the payment.
What's that?
Well, the whole thing is like, oh, well, it's not worth paying them because they, you know, like there's a lot of bad teachers out there. And,
well,
and it's just like, well, no, it's just because the...
I will say part of the flaws in our system is we have the teachers union. And the teachers union. And this is where you might see a little bit of my fiscal conservatism. I think unions are useless. In our modern society, unions serve their purpose back in the 20s and 30s in the Industrial Revolution when things were bad and the workers needed to unite together to fix things and create regulation and to actually have some level of support to change things. Nowadays, unions generally just mean you make less money, you get guaranteed raises, you get certain benefits, but at the cost of I think, good business practice. If you look at the general failing of GM, I believe in 2004 or 5,
yeah,
when we had to do the big buyout thing, right? A lot of their costs are going to pensioners, people who don't work for them anymore, who are getting paid just as much as they were in their last year of work after working with guaranteed raises every year for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And some people argue, well, you know, that's just how things should be. Like, you should just get paid more for working longer. No, not really. You should get paid more if you're a good worker and you've earned the raises.
Yeah.
And to be fair, a lot of companies don't want to pay out those things because in this day and age, there's no loyalty between employers and employees. So it's hard to point the finger at one thing and say that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think unions get in the way, man. Like look at the Volkswagen factory in Tennessee. They're not unionized, or they may have recently been unionized, but I know that unions were trying for the longest time to get in there, and the employees of the factory said no. They're paid well, they get great benefits, and they love their job, so they don't want a union because the union just gets in the way. And that's what happens when you create a good environment for people to enjoy what they do, to enjoy where they work. You pay them well, and you give them the benefits they deserve. They're not going to need a third party to come in and cost them money and step in the way and get in the way of people just getting their work done. So I'm not a fan of unions. I don't think they have a purpose in today's day and age, especially teachers unions. The teachers unions, basically they're just there to make sure people can't get fired and get raises every year. Never mind the fact that school budgets are going down, 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 down.
Mm-hmm.
Up in where I grew up, suburbs of Northwest Illinois, the school's budgets were so bad they were cutting music funding. Like, just there were no music programs for any of the middle schools.
That always hurts when you say that.
Like, no music programs, mm-hmm, at all. So if you're in middle school or elementary school age and you wanted access to learn a musical instrument, your parents gotta find a way to do that outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. And then, you know, there's a little bit of funding for music in high school, but that was about it. And yet, teachers were getting their annual raises of 10 to 15%. We're cutting programs, we're cutting funding, you get less resources, you get less this, less that, and teachers are getting their raises. Was it a merit-based raise? No, it was a union-mandated raise. I feel like that is the definition of everything that America isn't when it comes to economics and working, because you work hard, you earn your pay. If you work really hard and you do a really good job, you get paid better. If you don't get paid better, you go somewhere else where they will.
Yep.
That's how this works. And school's a little different because it's not the free market necessarily. It's generally funded by taxes and the government, so things are a little bit different. But the principles are still there. If you work in a really good district, you get paid really well. If you work really well and your students perform well, you deserve bonuses, you deserve raises. And if they don't do well, you don't.
Yeah.
But everybody gets the same benefits regardless of performance. That's not, in my opinion, the American way.
I think the reason unions exist is to keep the teachers that are in bad school areas, like, from not just completely abandoning the school entirely.
Well, that's a thorny issue.
Yeah, we can get to that for an hour and a half, which we shouldn't do.
No Child Left Behind is just a whole big mess.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's yet another argument. Like, how do you fix education?
And I keep getting back on that subject every time I come here.
Well, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It's a very big deal. Education is a huge, huge issue. And being not an education professional in any way whatsoever, the revolutionary is, so we might leave this topic for when he comes back. That's one I have no clue on. I can tell you that, me personally, I had a terrible experience in public school. It was not the environment for me to learn things. But everyone has to do it all the same. Einstein had a great analogy about how you take a worm, a bird, a whale, and a worm, a bird, a fish, and a monkey, or something like that, and you teach them all the exact same skills, right? So you teach the worm to swim, teach the whale to climb a tree. Like, it all averages out to C's. Nobody's excelling at anything or being good at one thing and exploring that skill. Everybody's forced to learn all the same mundane skills and not really excel where they're great. So I think it's a broken system, but I also have no way to suggest how to fix it. I couldn't tell you. So yeah, that's that's hard. Let's get back on track because we keep losing this stuff here. Okay, so we covered ExxonMobil. The West Wing is a little bit more mild. Stealing a joke there.
Yeah.
Robert Mueller's putting his junk on the table. It's hilarious.
He
I
also
love it.
Said that nobody can touch any of the documents or data regarding Donnie Jr.'s messages.
His emails?
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to worry about that. They were tweeted out. But all the other records pertaining to it, I'm sure. Yeah, I mean, that's... If you really want to look at it, that was the domino that started the whole thing rolling. You know, it's just everything's just kind of going from there. I still can't believe he thought that was a good idea. I can't get over the fact that that actually happened. Oh my God. How dumb are you that you think that getting ahead of everybody by just releasing all the evidence against you is the right play? I can't fathom.
Well, you were raised by a man who thought that running for president was easy.
Well, he won.
Running for president was easy. Being the president.
Well, I mean, to be fair, being president's really hard. It's way harder than I ever thought it could be. I miss my old life.
You're getting there.
Yeah. The voice?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm working on it. Once a week here on the podcast, I work on it. That's
good.
we're just gonna grind some gears, you know, grind it till you find it. Net neutrality, we talked about it a little bit last week, talked about it a little bit 2 weeks ago. We're gonna keep this as a persistent topic on the podcast, I think. This used to be a tech-based show. We're gonna try to bring it back to its roots a little bit here.
Even then, it still covers everything we talk about, and it's very important to the medium we're listening on, we're talking to. It's...
Oh, yeah. No, it's super important to us as a show, what we do. Everything we do in this show is out of pocket. We don't ask for money. We don't ask for donations. We've received a few charitable donations from our viewers, and we appreciate it. But it's all free. We do this on our own time because we want to, because we feel it's necessary for you out there to hear what's going on, to understand why it matters. And with things like... net neutrality being taken away, we're looking at shows like ours, voices like ours being silenced. We're looking at a very real threat of not being able to deliver to you truth and real fact. And it's terrifying. It's a completely terrifying concept.
I used to think back in 2009, 2010, I used to see the internet and what you could do on it and go, wow, the internet is the new Wild West. It still is pretty unregulated, and it's crazy how much can go on. This is when that whole cyberbullying thing was going on, and I could see that, like, literally people were causing other people to die. That's pretty Wild West to me.
That's still happening, to be clear.
Yeah. But at least people are now aware about it, so... Some things are being done to sort of...
So, the internet's difficult as a topic to discuss regulation, right? Number one, the internet is everywhere. Literally everywhere, all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What one country, you know, especially a country like the United States that espouses the freedom of speech, the freedom of the press... the freedom of assembly as its core values. How can a country that espouses these things then say, well, the internet needs to be this is a really difficult thing to talk about.
No, it's confusing because
it's hard to talk about. Yeah. So normal verbiage is not clear here. Right. So the argument would be, well, the internet should be deregulated because the government shouldn't have a say in how things are done.
Except,
right,
private companies provide you said internet, and they're not your friend.
Well, it's the question of infrastructure, mm-hmm. right? So when you talk about the internet, there's a lot of aspects to it. You've got the pumps, you've got the tubes, and you've got the little trucks that drive down the tubes, and and all we see are the bits at the end. So when we talk about the regulation or deregulation of the internet, we're not talking about the data per se. What we're discussing is the method by which the data is delivered. So if you imagine, bear with me, that the internet is a series of tubes.
A highway,
maybe, with many lanes, and there are trucks delivering content to you. Imagine that instead of one large free highway, there are many different toll roads, and the trucks have to go a certain speed based on the tolls that they pay. So the lower the toll, the slower the truck. The higher the toll, the faster the truck. So the people who can afford to pay the higher tolls will get their content delivered first. And the people who can't afford to pay or pay nothing either don't get content delivered at all or get it delivered much, much slower. And this is all very abstract. So to kind of put it in terms that every single one of us will understand, it came to the attention of The Verge that Verizon was recently found to have throttled people's connection speeds to Netflix. Now, Verizon is a content provider. They have specific content they own that they distribute. They have contract deals with people like the NFL and cable companies to give you direct content. So it is in their business interests to be able to provide you first and foremost better content than anyone else. Now, Netflix, being Netflix, provides probably the best content on the internet for the least amount of money. It's amazing what they can offer for so little. And no cable company can compete with it. However, Verizon, being an internet service provider, has the ability to interfere with your access to that content. So what they did recently was they slowed down everyone's connection speeds to Netflix. They throttled it to 10 megabits per second. That's very, very, very slow in modern internet speeds. For example, I believe the entire... Oh, I can't remember which country. I believe it's Netherlands, some Norse country, is wired entirely with 100 megabit per second cable.
No, they have 1 gigabit.
Gigabit? Is it gigabit?
Yeah, most countries, a lot of countries, except for the U.S., which
I know,
is starting to finally pick up.
I know all of Hong Kong is wired with gigabit internet.
Yeah.
All of the city of Hong Kong, which granted it's a city, but it's huge. They have everybody that lives in Hong Kong has access to gigabit internet, which is 1,000 megabits per second. So you're getting 1% of that speed is all you're getting. So you pay Netflix for your access to that content. You pay Verizon for your access to their service of delivering content to you. And Verizon decided they were going to slow down your ability to access the content that you've paid for, which is basically a direct violation of what is currently a Title II protection, which is to say a utility.
Yep.
What does that mean for you and me? Why do these big words matter? Basically, Verizon decided that because you wanted to watch information that they weren't providing to you, they're going to limit your ability to access it. That's a huge problem.
Even though you're paying them.
You're paying the same rates either way. You're paying Verizon the same rates for access to their internet service. You're paying Netflix your rate for access to their content. And Verizon decided that their content needed to be delivered to you faster than Netflix. So Netflix got slowed down. And that's in a nutshell, is why net neutrality is so important. If the internet service providers are regulated, and that's really what net neutrality is, it's the ISPs, not the internet. If the ISPs are regulated, that's illegal. And that's a very good thing. Because you have a lot of people like us, you have a lot of forums out there that discuss things for free that need to be able to distribute their information. And if you have people like Verizon, if you have companies like Verizon and Comcast and Time Warner getting in the way of your ability to access the content either quickly or at all, you don't have the freedom of speech. Nobody else has their freedom of speech. You lose access to information that is yours by right in America. And that's a huge, huge, huge issue. So Star Trek, the final frontier, right? Uh-huh. The internet is our final frontier. It is so important that we make sure that we have complete and unfettered access to all parts of the internet, as scary as that may be. And there are some horrible places on the internet. Let's be clear. There's a lot of illegal stuff. There's a lot of really shady stuff. And the government, in its duty to protect the people, cracks down on these illegal activities. That's what they do, and that's what they should do. But that doesn't mean that they should give internet service providers, large companies with access to huge amounts of resources, the ability to get in the way of your ability to access content. So, net neutrality this week, Verizon throttling people's access to Netflix. That matters to everybody because everybody has Netflix at this point. It's just another example of things that can go wrong and will go wrong if we lose our Title II protections. So once again, we encourage everybody listening, write your congressman. Let them know the FCC needs to maintain its Title II protections of the internet. Speaking of that, a little while ago, the FCC actually asked people to write in and express their opinions on net neutrality and whether or not we need to maintain or remove the Title II protections. The FCC claimed that they were attacked by a direct denial of service, but that didn't happen. They received like 3 million letters from people saying that they wanted net neutrality to be maintained, and the FCC claimed that they were attacked by a lot of fake letters. Basically, a direct denial of service is people spamming a particular internet page to make it die. That wasn't the case. That was everyone who cares writing in, making their voices heard. It was so overwhelming, the FCC felt it was necessary to lie and hide what really happened because it doesn't support the current administration's views on net neutrality. People, that's so awesome. It's so great that we can give them such overwhelming response. They feel that they have to lie about what actually happened because it doesn't support their viewpoints. It's amazing. It's so wonderful to see people get up, make their voices heard, and just be overwhelming in their volume of screw you. Maintain the protections and the rights we deserve and need. So that's great that that happened. That's so, so awesome. And that makes me feel really, really good. Keeping up with that feel-good train.
Yeah, positive upswing.
We got to, as always here at the One Man Revolution, we got to keep things positive. So we got a couple things here. We're gonna start with a positive mention. Forbes this week ran a pretty awesome story. The country of Chile. Depending, Chile. I don't know. I speak English.
It's Chile.
Chile. They recently set aside 11 million acres for national parks.
Yeah?
Yeah, 11 million acres. I haven't done the math to square miles, but that's pretty incredible. That was actually all facilitated by a single private donation. So there's a large foundation that basically owned the land or had the land donated to them that they collected it all together and donated it to the nation of Chile as national parks.
Cool.
So that is super, super cool that after seeing Brazil decide to sell off 80 million acres or whatever for forestation of the rainforests, that Chile's taking a step in the other direction, maintaining the glorious nature, beautiful nature that they have, and not being so greedy. It's pretty great. Feels really good. So I love that. I love the fact that people are taking small steps. This isn't a small step. People are taking steps to preserve this incredible planet, what we do have left, and taking steps to maybe grow a little bit, maybe make things a little bit better. So that's awesome. Never mind the fact that President Trump and his administration don't want to support research and active efforts to prevent global warming, climate change, I should say.
National park land, we could be using that for fracking. Lands.
Right. Look at all the resources we have under Yosemite. We should just burn it to the ground and dig.
Yeah.
Well.
Finances.
Well, it's not that. It's the idea of energy independence, right? Like it's how do we as a nation become independent of these countries we don't necessarily want to be trading with? We should destroy our natural resources. Or instead of doing that, maybe invest in things like green energy, like wind and solar, and other things. And we are doing that. We're taking efforts to do that because President Obama's efforts were not in vain. He created the green energy movement. We've got Tesla doing their thing. Wind energy, solar power, awesome works. Those are expanding way faster than anybody ever expected them to, especially wind energy. It's been a tremendous success. So we do have people out there who are taking this very seriously. They see climate change as the threat it is, and they're willing to do things about it. So that's pretty awesome. Feeling pretty good there. One other thing I do want to mention that I think is pretty great. It's the One Man Revolution's Well Done of the Week. The Telegraph reported recently, and I haven't told the Inquisitor this. So this should be fun. So the Telegraph, the UK Telegraph, recently reported that the Chinese government has officially banned Justin Bieber from the country to protect the purity of the nation.
Wow.
I can't even. That tickles me so much. I love that. It's so great. Literally, the statement is, hang on, let me read this for you. Quote, Justin Bieber is a gifted singer, but he is also a controversial young foreign singer. In order to maintain order at the Chinese market and purify the Chinese performance environment, it is not suitable to bring in badly behaved entertainers. We hope that as Justin Bieber matures, he can be... he can continue to improve his own words and actions and truly become a singer beloved by the public.
Wow. That's
when the Chinese government can give you a smackdown on behavior.
See, okay, but like let's make it somebody that like, if you're gonna change to somebody that you actually liked.
Okay. And then like Google?
Yeah. See, you already know.
This is hilarious.
I don't know. It's like, it's cool and all because, like, you know, screw Justin Bieber or whatever. But at the same time, it's like.
No.
Why are you telling your people?
It's hilarious considering how many other artists there are out there they could have done this for like years and years. And they're only just now doing it for Justin Bieber, of all people.
What's funny is they're delayed, too, because, like.
He's been an asshole for so long.
Well, yeah, but not only that, but he's on the upswing of, like. I care now. I'm a better person.
Bull.
That's what he's trying to do. At least that's what his PR people try to do.
Well, yeah. Okay. Sure. That's what his Twitter account says.
So,
but no, I just think it's so funny that they've actually
still denying their people content.
No, the fact that they have actually made an official statement banning a specific artist, and that includes internet access to his content. By the way, like you can't find him on the internet in China.
You can't find a lot of things on the internet in China.
You know what we just did?
Huh?
China.
China. Yeah, we were going to have a
shot. We struck out a lot there. Oh, man.
Okay.
I have a fun surprise in the fridge.
Oof.
For after the show.
I'm unaware of it. But either way, like, they're still, like, holding contact back from their...
Well, let's be clear. This is not an argument for the censorship of the Chinese government against its people. Like, that is not a good thing. I just think it's funny. Because I don't think Justin Bieber represents anything good in any facet whatsoever. He bought a Fisker Karma, and he wrapped it in chrome.
And then ruined it.
Wrapped a car in chrome, yeah. You're not a good person. Argue against it.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah, it's not.
All right, well, maybe all those believers out there can help fight for content equality in China.
No, to be fair.
They deserve to know everything, too.
To be fair, the content should be allowed in China, and the Chinese people should have the choice to not listen to his stuff.
China.
But it just tickles me on so many levels that a country has felt it necessary. And there's a part of me that hopes that it's nothing to do with his actual behavior or content. There's just somebody way up high in the party that really doesn't like him.
Probably met him once.
No.
And he snuffed them.
I'm just thinking that somebody has a 13-year-old daughter that has a huge crush on Justin Bieber, and they find that unacceptable. That's what I'm thinking. Like some girl angina has posters of Justin Bieber all over her room, and her father severely disapproves of this.
I'll make it. I'm a party member. It's illegal now.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I'll show you because you won't take the posters down. He's illegal. That is thought crime. I just.
Man.
That's the narrative that was created in my head when I read that story, and it just makes me giggle. It's amazing. But yeah. So that's the one man revolution well done of the week. Oh my God. I can't. Well, okay, so you mentioned earlier in the podcast, I don't know if I want to go there. I feel like it's a pretty good place to be.
Yeah, I don't want to go down Drury Lane.
Yeah. I don't know. I like that. I'm all laughy. That's pretty great. Do we end it there? It's kind of a short episode.
It is. But I'm just waiting for Revolutionary to get back.
Yeah, the Revolutionary is coming back next week. I'm sure it's going to be ridiculous. He has been chomping at the bit to just let loose on all the stuff that's been going on. And I know it kills him to cut off early on in the show every episode. So he's coming back. Maybe we can save up some of our good grace and some extra time by cutting it short this week so we can run a little long next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want to do that?
Sure.
All right, man. Cool. So we're going to end it on a positive note. Justin Bieber's illegal in China. China. Yeah.
China.
It's so funny.
China can no longer see...
The Biebs. You know what? I'm waiting for the study where, like, depression angina disappears in 2 weeks. Just, like, something ridiculous is better for Gina because Justin Bieber is illegal.
Applied directly to the forehead.
Yeah, exactly. It's just, I'm sure something's going to come of this, and it will make me laugh even more. But in the meantime, we're gonna leave it there on a high note because why not? I want to thank you for joining us. I'm the comrade. Today I'm joined by...
The Inquisitor.
The Revolutionary is coming back next week, folks. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're on Facebook, don't go anywhere. You guys have a great week.